If it's not more expensive than a new refrigerator, let's just fucking do it.
Oh, man.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're going to talk about a bunch of the media coming up in 2026 that we are looking forward to seeing. There's a lot to get through, and we even answer five questions at the end. Whoa!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Hey, nerds, welcome to 2026. I'm Nick, your host for Geeks Without God. This episode, I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
It's 2026.
And Tim Wick.
Oh my God, 2026. We're so old.
And there's so much to look forward to this year in nerd media that we thought we would do an episode again this year to talk about some of the things we're looking forward to. Having nice things on the horizon on your calendar helps you get through the colder months or the rougher times. Just having things to look forward to is nice.
Maybe just because, like, I don't know, there's like some kind of military occupation happening.
Maybe.
Where?
So
where?
Some nice things.
By the time this episode comes out, we don't even know where it'll be, but it'll be somewhere.
Yeah, good movies to get you through a military occupation.
Hooray.
Yeah. Hey, Tim, you're a movie guy.
I am.
What, any big movie releases you're looking forward to this year?
Well, you know what? I feel like I need to just bring up The Mandalorian and Grogu because Star Wars, right? We haven't had Star Wars for a while. The Mandalorian has been a pretty successful series on Disney Plus. They're going to have a movie coming out in looks like about late May, which kind of makes sense. May is a pretty big Star Wars month for those folks. I don't know what it's about. I don't really care. I just think Star Wars on the big screen is something to get excited about. So I'm looking forward to that.
Molly, what about
you? Yeah, the thing I'm the most looking forward to is called The Sheep Detectives. It's based on a book called Three Bags Full, which is indeed a sheep detective story. In that, there is the herdsman, the shepherd, and the shepherd gets murdered, and the sheep decide that they are going to solve the murder. And the sheep are the characters that you are in. He's been reading to them their whole lives. He reads to his flock, and he reads them, he likes to read them Agatha Christie and Hercule Poirot. And so he reads them lots of crime and mystery novels. So they feel like they are adequately prepared. And it's very funny. And they are going to solve the murder by trying to get humans. They can't talk. They're not like magic sheep that can talk. They communicate to each other, but they can't talk to humans. So they have to try to show the humans what they're trying to get the humans to see and notice.
Like, what's wrong? Is someone trapped in the well? Kind of.
Yeah. Yep. Like that. Like stamping hooves and trying to get them to pay attention. I loved it. It's a book I read when it first came out, God, in the aughts. Yeah. And I really enjoyed it. And so I was very excited to see the trailer for it. It looks exactly like I remember the book. Looks great.
There's very little that we know about Boots Riley's next movie. I Love Boosters is the title. It's coming out the same day as Mandalorian and Grogu, but Boots Riley is Sorry to Bother You. The same.
But I'm a Virgo, right?
But I'm a Virgo. Yep. Yeah. His band is The Coup. You might know their song "We Have the Guillotines," which is great. I Love Boosters. The only thing we know is that it's a shoplifting crew that are targeting a fashion maven, someone like a Devil's Wear Prada type person. I'm on board with anything he writes and directs. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be anti-establishment for sure. Some other things coming out this year just to put on your calendar: Project Hail Mary is a great book. It's the writer of The Martian and a few other. The trailer looks pretty faithful to the book. Supergirl comes out in June, which is based on a Eisner-winning comic. And they just released some pictures of Jason Momoa as the role he was born to play.
Lobo,
the main man.
Cigar chomping.
Yeah, it looks great. Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey. I'm intrigued.
I am excited. So for my birthday. It looks like a pretty cool.
Yeah.
It looks like a pretty cool Odyssey.
I'm interested, right?
Yeah. How can you not be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steven Spielberg has a movie coming out currently tentatively titled The Dish in summer. It's some sort of UFO movie, which he's done all right with UFO movies. So I'm hopeful that'll be pretty sweet.
They're going to do the Narnia series. They're giving it another shot as movies.
Mm. Oh, they're starting over.
It's Greta Gerwig, I think. And so they're starting with The Magician's Nephew for Thanksgiving this year.
Which is technically the sixth book in the series.
I'm intrigued to see where they go with it and what they do with it, right? It's going to be interesting. This year we get a Spider-Man movie. We get a Batman movie, which is Clayface, which is going to be a horror movie.
Yeah.
We get Avengers Doomsday. We get Star Wars Supergirl.
Dune.
Yeah, another Dune movie.
Dune Part 3, which, all right. I liked the first one a lot. The second one I was like, this is
yeah. Yeah.
I'm hoping that maybe 3 is better and pulls it back around. Yeah. Like, maybe 2 suffered from middle of the trilogy.
I can't remember if they bring Duncan Idaho Gola back.
I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. Dune 2 does end basically where the first book ended.
Right.
So Dune 3 is after the Messiah becomes the Messiah.
It'd be Dune Messiah.
Yeah, it'd be the book.
So that's going to be interesting to see where they take that. Because most people don't know where the story goes after.
Yeah. Well, most of the books decline in quality with every book that comes out.
They get thicker, thornier.
Yeah. And Robert Eggers, who did the Nosferatu movie last year, is doing a werewolf. I'm intrigued. I'm curious.
Then you can watch Nosferatu, and then you can watch the Frankenstein movie from Guillermo del Toro, and then you can watch the werewolf movie again and have a little monster.
Yeah,
there you go. Oh, and we didn't even mention that they have Ready or Not 2 coming out. And while I love Ready or Not, and I have no idea how
it's
they
Samara
can make,
Weaving, right?
Yeah,
how they can make a sequel to that movie that will be anywhere near as entertaining or clever.
If
more rich people explode at the end, then
the extended family or other families that do the same thing.
Oh, that's so weird. I'm engaged to a guy whose family has the exact same game.
I think the premise is some other girl also survived one of the other family's deadliest game huntings. And they have been paired together to survive the multi-family deadliest game.
Huh.
Family reunion.
Yeah.
As long as we have rich people exploding at the end, I mean, that's all that really matters. Just bloody rich explosions. That'll be great.
Yeah. Let's change gears. There's not a lot that's super confirmed for this year, but there are some tentpole things coming out for video games.
Fable.
Oh, Molly.
Fable.
Hey, Molly, is there a game you want to talk about this
year? Yeah, I want to talk about Fable. I'm very excited. I've been waiting for this for a decade or more than that. I don't remember when Fable 3 came out, but I want to say it was in the mid-teens. It is one of my favorite game franchises of all time. I have played so much Fable 2 and Fable 3. I'm very excited. And the open world aspect, it looks like Albion is getting what I will just refer to as the Breath of the Wild treatment.
Yeah,
you get open world, all the same villages and places, a lot of the same people or the same family lines, but it is open world, so you can go wherever you want. I'm super excited. People are flipping out because they just did a whole kind of like a preview interview, and they got rid of Morph, which is the thing that... with Fable, so you know how all your decisions alter your appearance and
good
how people think about
thing.
You. Yeah, but it was very binary. And Morph was the thing where, like, if you if you always used a ranged weapon, you got taller and thinner. And if you always used a melee weapon, you got thicker and stockier. And if you used magic, you got crazy light up magic scars. But since most people used all three, almost always what ended up happening was you were this like giant fucking beast of a human covered in glow in the dark weirdness and scars.
And if you did good or bad things, you got more angelic or demonic too, right?
Yep. And so they're still doing some of that, and they're still doing some of the like, they're still doing a lot of like the choices you make are going to really affect how the NPCs and other parts treat you. But it's not going to be so much about your appearance, because that just didn't seem to make as much sense to them. People are mad. It's so funny.
I heard that in that same video, they were bragging about all the different people that you could follow any one person around for a whole day and they'd do their whole routine and their whole schedule. I read every single one of those tens of thousands of citizens of Albion is designed by a person and not procedurally generated.
Yes.
Which is incredibly impressive.
They've been working very hard.
The company that made that, Playground Games, is the company that is most known for doing the Forza driving games. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see what
that's the only game that I am. And also the new Katamari came out at the end of this last year and it's really good.
I think friend of the show, Jerry Bellish, is working on High on Life 2, which comes out in a couple of weeks.
Oh, fun.
I think he has a hand in that. The second one will be fully detached from Jeffrey Rowland. So there's no ethical worries about that. I'm intrigued. I played the first one. It was a Game Pass game, so it was free to play, but I enjoyed it. There's a James Bond video game coming out this year called First Light that people are very excited about. It looks like a great story and good gameplay. Tim, is there anything you're looking forward to this year?
Yeah, you know, because I do play video games, but not nearly as much as y'all. Right now, there is nothing Zelda, nothing Mario, nothing Animal. I mean, they just did a like big old patch for Animal Crossing, so
yeah.
I might need to go back to my pandemic Animal Crossing obsession for a little while and see what that's like. But right now, no. But you know, it's kind of one of those things where every now and again, you know, like Hades happened last year, where my kids were like, "Hey, Dad, you should try this game. We think you'd like it," and I did. So you know, maybe this year I'll find something else. So
Hades 2.
Yeah. But that's already out, so I can't talk about that.
You went like that.
Silk Song is a very unforgiving game. I don't know that
Hades also very unforgiving.
No.
Okay.
Dying is integral to Hades.
In Silk Song too.
Silk Song, you are punished for dying.
Okay.
I would describe it as being punished for gaming.
All right.
For dying. A lot of people are excited about Grand Theft Auto 6. I usually will play those games after they've been out for a little while, but the story is usually very enjoyable. The game I'm most excited about this year is the sequel to Control, Resonant. It looks like you're playing as Jesse's brother, Jesse the protagonist of the first game. These games are tied into the whole Alan Wake universe. They are very, very excellent games. And while Alan Wake is more of a action, horror, survival, Control is a little bit more of a powers, horror,
sci-fi,
action.
Horror.
Yeah.
More sci-fi than Alan Wake, for sure.
Yeah, supernatural, weird stuff. Really, if you like, what are those? The horror online database.
SCP.
SCP. It's like SCP, the video game.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's a Wolverine game coming out this year that people are excited about.
I bet there is.
Yeah.
You guys love Wolverine.
It's Insomniac Games, so like Ratchet and Clank series. And
That's interesting.
Hey, Molly.
Yeah.
You read more than anyone I know.
Okay.
Definitely more than me.
What are you looking forward to for reading this year?
Yeah, so...
What
am I reading for? So there are some books that I'm excited from authors that I really like. Marcus Kluwer, who wrote We Used to Live Here, a very polarizing horror book. People love it or hate it. I loved it. So I'm excited for his new one, which is called The Caretaker. Emily St. John Mandel, who wrote what is that? They made an HBO series of it where they're traveler people. And it's the post-apocalyptic world, and it's like Station Zero. Is that what it's called? Shit.
I think it's like Station 11.
Station 11. Yes. I believe she wrote that book, and she wrote Station 11. She also wrote The Glass Hotel, two books I really love. She has a new book coming out called Exit Party. Let's see. Kylie Lee Baker, who wrote one of the best books of 2025, Bat Eater and Other Names for Cora Zeng, which is a very, very good book about being Chinese American growing up, or not growing up, being Chinese American in Manhattan during COVID. But she has another horror book coming out called Japanese Gothic. Monica Kim, who wrote The Eyes Are the Best Part, another really great horror book from last year. She has a new book coming out called Molka. And then there is a new Rainbow Rowell. So Rainbow Rowell, who wrote the Runaways series, has been writing books. And that Rowell has a book called Cherry Baby coming out, which sounds really interesting. It's about a woman whose boyfriend becomes very famous. He has a famous webcomic that gets turned into an animated series. Mm-hmm. But it's based on his life, which means it's based on her life, which means now she is an animated character that looks just like her, and she doesn't love that. Oh, and people like recognize her on the street as the character, and she's just not really into it. And it's, it sounds like it could be really interesting. It's called Cherry Baby. Yeah. There's other books I'm excited about, but I know that there's books you're going to talk about. So.
I just finished the first book that I was looking forward to this year, the Dresden Files book 18. After years of break, Jim Butcher's back at it, and the latest Dresden Files book is out just like a week ago before recording this.
I'm in the middle of it.
I just finished it today. If you're a Dungeon Crawler Carl fan, there's A Parade of Horribles. The book 8 in that series comes out in May. But before that, Matt Dinneman has another book that's not in that series coming out called Operation Bounce House, which is a science fiction book where human colonists on another planet are defending themselves from people on Earth attacking them using remotely controlled robots or mechs.
Interesting.
And I believe the premise is similar to Ender's Game. They believe they're playing a game.
Oh, fun.
So Operation Bounce House is them playing the game that's killing all these colonists.
That is Ender's Game. Yeah. That's yeah.
And so that comes out in a week or two. I'm excited for that. If you're a fan of The Expanse, James S. A. Corey's next book in their new series, The Captive's War, comes out in April.
Very exciting.
A new Murderbot book this year. The book series that Molly and I have been reading, the Anna and Din mysteries.
They're good.
Which are like urban fantasy, Sherlock and Watson. A Trade of Blood, the third book in that series, comes out in June. Those first two were so fucking good.
I'm in the middle of reading the second one as well right now, and it's I love it. It's really, it's a fascinating world building. It's the kind of fantasy and sci-fi I like, where you just get dropped into the middle of everything, and you don't know what's going on, and you just have to figure it out as you read.
It's a great world.
Yes.
There's a Cosmere book, a secret project coming out this year, Fires of December, and then Jason Pargan, formerly known as David Wong, has another John Dies at the End book coming out later this year called There Are No Giant Crabs in This Novel, A Novel of Giant Crabs. Tim, is there anything on your calendar for this year?
No. So let's move on. We all know I don't spend a lot of time reading, and I'm going to repeat that the reason I don't spend a lot of time reading is because once I start reading a book, I can't stop, and then I don't go to sleep. So I have decided that for my mental health, it's better if I don't read fiction.
Yeah. Well, let's talk TV.
TV time, baby.
There's some TV that's already started.
There is.
And there's some TV that starts tonight, and as soon as we're done with this episode, we're going to go watch Wonder Man.
Wonder Man, baby! I'm so excited!
On Disney Plus. The initial reviews are really good. It looks like another WandaVision.
Show within a show.
Yeah, I'm really excited for Wonder Man. Is there anything on that list? Are you watching Starfleet Academy, Tim?
Not yet. But I am going to, and it's not on the list that you sent, Nick, but I am going to bring it up. Maybe it's a little outside and nerdy, but The Pitt season 2 just started a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Nerdy.
The Pitt is a fucking amazing show. And I say this because I hate medical dramas. I hate them.
Yeah.
I think they're boring as shit. But I mostly think they're boring as shit because they focus on stupid relationships that I don't give a fuck about. It's like, who are the doctors having sex with? Don't care. Show me how they're dealing with their patients. And that's what The Pitt does. Season 1 was great. We just watched episode 1 of season 2 last night. Very much enjoyed it, and was disappointed that everybody in the house was like, oh, it's too late. We can't watch another. I'm like, I can stay up all night. It's like reading a fucking book. There's three episodes. Told, let's go.
I've been told by four people from what I would describe as four very different walks of television enjoyment life have all told me that they love it and that we should watch it. So I think we need to watch it.
The main thing that has me curious to watch The Pitt is I read an essay online about how the first season of The Pitt is hour by hour recreation of the Battle of Helm's Deep. And I'm like, all right, this sounds like nonsense.
Now I got to go watch it again and see if that's true.
Read the thing. If you Google that, I'm sure you'll find the essay or whatever.
This week, the second episode of Night of the Seven Kingdoms or Dunk and Egg. Game of Thrones story came out.
So good.
It's really great.
So it's based on this graphic novel that's really great.
Published by Marvel.
Yep. And it's it's perfectly cast. It looks like the page come to life. It's amazing. And the kid they cast as Egg is there's just the right amount of sassy.
Yeah.
The guy they cast as Duncan is being just the right amount of thick.
Yeah.
And just the right amount of not stupid. He just looks befuddled a lot of the time when people are talking to him because he's a little slow. He just doesn't think super fast. And so when people are being really fast at him, he's like, And before he can really grasp it, it's on to something else, and it's just great. It's really good.
So all of last year on the top of the charts for anime shows was Frieren Beyond Journey's End, and 2 weeks ago it was unseated as the top anime show
after like 12 or 13 months.
But it was unseated by Frieren Beyond Journey's End season 2. So It's two episodes deep, but Molly and I are waiting for the dub episodes to come out, which are like 2 or 3 weeks behind. So we'll start to get enjoying that this week.
You like the dub voices?
Yeah, it's got great localization, really good voice acting. But I'm super looking forward to that. That's stuff that's out. What about stuff that's not out?
Tim, did you know Bridgerton comes out?
Know that.
Are you guys going to watch it right away? I know that you guys are like us.
I feel like we are. I feel like that it's going to be a very quick watch.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely looking forward to Bridgerton. Also looking forward to
about the other show coming out next week, Tim.
You mean the new Muppet show?
Yeah.
I don't know. Some Muppet shows have been great. Some haven't. I don't care. I mean, I'll watch it. I'll watch it. I'm always happy for new Muppets.
I don't know if I've ever seen an iteration of the Muppet Show that I didn't like. Hmm. When they brought it back this last time and they did it, I liked that one. I thought that was fun.
The most recent time they brought it back was like, what's the girly show? What was it? 30 Rock.
It was like 30 Rock.
It was like 30 Rock.
I loved.
It was fine. It was good.
I liked it.
The Office. But this is like a return to the classic, like the Muppet Show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I'm definitely going to watch every episode and like them or not, complain about them or not, I'll keep watching them.
what else are you looking for?
You know, in this household, the thing that I think I can say the bulk of the household is most excited about is One Piece live action season 2.
Oh
really? Did you watch it?
I did. I watched it with my kids who were both super into it, and I did really enjoy it. I thought it was was really clever, really well done. Now, I'm not a big One Piece fan, so.
Right. Aren't there like 500 episodes?
Over 1,000
episodes. How much did you and the kids get through before they?
We didn't watch any of the anime. We just watched the live action.
But I thought I see it's season 2 of the live action. Yeah. I thought this was the debut of the live action.
No, this is season 2.
Now I understand.
Yeah.
The kid they have cast as Luffy is really good.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought the first season was really interesting. Alex is super into anime and tries to get me into anime, and he hasn't succeeded a whole hell of a lot. And that's on me. That's not on him. It's just not my thing. But I did really enjoy One Piece live action.
Yeah.
And I'm down for another season of that.
It's a good message for today. I was very surprised by at all the protests and stuff we've been at lately, how many straw hat pirate flags.
There's a lot of love.
I know,
stuff.
That's great.
It's kind of wild.
It's super anti-imperialist and anti-slavery, and it's a good.
The weebs, they got it. They know what's up. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. The kids are all right.
I am very excited for my space boy soap opera to come back.
Oh yeah,
For All Mankind, which is getting it's good. It's as we get further into the future and stuff, I expect it to get more silly. I don't know. It's very dramatic,
up to in this season? Do you remember?
I think I think the last season ended basically right before the Oklahoma, like it was like not the Oklahoma City bombing, but like it would have been right before the Twin Towers would happen or not happen. I think is where we're at. I think we're at the beginning of the 2000. But I'm not 100% on that. I remember when we watched the last season that we were like, oh man, I wonder what their version is. Cause sometimes it's the same and sometimes it's almost the same because it's Uchronic, you know, so it's exciting.
So season 4 ended with a jump into the future of 2012.
Oh shit. No.
It's real close.
They just decided to not even mess with it, I guess. They just
if it happened, they'll tell you about it.
Oh, well, no.
Yeah.
I'm also excited for Euphoria. I love that show. I think I'm going to rewatch the first 3 seasons leading up to it. I really want to do that. So
when I saw more Euphoria was coming out, I was like, oh man, what is this? The second? No, it's gotta be the 3rd season. It's the 4th.
Yep.
Like I can't believe there's already 3 seasons of it because it just is so devourable. Such phenomenal acting in that show. Tim, if your son's into anime, he might be. So Full Metal Alchemist is a very, very popular anime out. The mangaka, the woman who made that manga, Hiromu Arakawa, her new anime, or her new manga, is getting adapted into Demons of the Shadow Realm, which is coming out in April, and people are very, very excited about it because Fullmetal Alchemist was a bit of a masterpiece.
I would be shocked if Alex was not aware of it.
Yeah. There's some good superhero stuff this year.
They've got a new Star Wars animated series, Maul, coming out, which Devin and I have been working on all the Star Wars stuff. We had like started on Bad Batch, and then the first couple episodes we were like, okay, let's watch other stuff, and never got back to it. We finally finished season 1 of the Bad Batch, and it improves as the season goes on. So we just haven't started in on seasons 2 and 3, but we are going to start in on seasons 2 and 3. So, you know, on the strength of that, and I really enjoyed Skeleton Crew on the strength of that, you know.
I like that too.
Darth Maul is not a character I really give a whole lot of shits about, but I'm still interested in seeing what they're going to do with it.
Well, I'm very curious to know more about the time period with Darth Maul that is around when the movie Solo is out, which I think is when this is taking place.
When he's
I think
in charge of the Crimson Dawn, basically.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I want to know more about the seedy underbelly of Star Wars, and I hope we get that in this show.
Mm-hmm.
The new season of Daredevil Born Again.
Mm. Yeah.
We get season 4 of Invincible, which is introducing I can't remember what the race they are. Shoot, I just forgot.
Viltrumite.
The emperor of the Viltrumites, that with their Freddie Mercury mustaches, is voiced by the Pie Man shit. What's his name? Super tall, thin. The emperor.
Lee Pace
is joining that cast. So that sounds fun. The Boys final season starts in April. It's kind of crazy that that's coming to an end.
That's the final season.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I'm really excited to see what they do with the Generation V.
Yeah.
That show has been really good. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch Beef?
No, I did not watch Beef.
Oh, that was so good.
So it was such a good season, and there was one of the actors, there was some drama, some bad behavior, some canceling, and I thought the show was just never going to come back, and I guess the second season of Beef comes out in April, and I'm really looking forward to it. That first season was so, everyone was so angry, and it's all about how anger is bad for you, kind of.
Yeah.
It was a great show. I really liked it. Solid stuff. There's a bunch of TV that's coming out this year that we know is coming out this year, but we don't have dates for it. Mm-hmm. And I kind of separated that stuff out in my list. Is there anything there that really stands out to you two?
I mean, Ted Lasso season 4.
Yeah.
I like season 3, but I thought seasons 1 and 2 were much better. But it's like the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I don't think the extended editions are necessarily better, but it's more Lord of the Rings and I like that. So it's more Ted Lasso and I like that.
I'm a little hesitant because I feel like they got bullied into doing a fourth season. Which makes me feel less interested in watching it because it's like they had told the story. They were done. They said, that's the end of the story. We're good. And then so many people have been writing letter campaigns and being mad about it and everything else that it's like, it feels like they're doing it against their desires, which is a little less good.
I hope they're doing it because they came up with a good story in addition, that they were like, they want it. And we've got an idea.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I felt like I recently rewatched the third season in January of last year. And I, after rewatching it, was like, I think this season's great and it ends really well. And I was really happy with the ending. So it's going to have a high bar to clear for me, but I'm of course going to watch it. You know,
it always makes me think of that Good Place quote from Ted Danson's character, that there's something so human about taking something great and ruining it so you can have more of it. And I'm still gonna watch it and I'm still gonna check it out.
Yep.
I'm curious because it was so good, but at the same time I can't help but to feel that way a little bit.
I am excited for the next season of Hacks. Hacks is a show that I absolutely love, and so more Hacks, please.
Some tentpole stuff this year. The second season of the live action Avatar: The Last Airbender.
They've
been doing a bunch of media with the actress that plays Toph. There's more House of the Dragon. The Lanterns, the Green Lanterns. Mm. Police procedural, I guess. Like people they're comparing it to True Detective. So a Green Lanterns show that's kind of in the vein of True Detective.
I think that could be really cool.
It's worth checking out.
Yeah. Molly, you're a big fan of the movie from the 90s, The Burbs.
Yes. Are they remaking it?
They're doing it as a TV series with Kiki Palmer and Jack Whitehall.
I really loved that movie as a kid. That's the Tom Hanks movie.
Yeah.
Where they're the city people who moved to the suburbs. And of course, the suburbs are terrifying. But is it?
Their little cul-de-sac. Yeah. So it's the same premise.
Yeah. That's fun.
The Buffy the Vampire Slayer sequel series.
I love Kiki Palmer. So
without Whedon is coming out, and they're adapting The Boys from Brazil into a miniseries.
Mm. Oh wow!
Timely, unfortunately.
Yeah. No shit.
the anime studio Science Saru, who is Dandadan. They did the animation for Scott Pilgrim Takes Off. They did a couple episodes of Star Wars Visions. They did, Molly, Keep Your Hands Off Isaacken.
Oh,
with all the crazy animation. So they are doing The Ghost in the Shell.
Okay.
They're doing the original manga adaptation new. I will give it a shot. Who knows?
Yeah.
And then, obviously there's there's tons of stuff out there that we're not touching.
And stuff that we don't even know about. Stuff we don't know that it's going to just be like, where the fuck did this come from? So
what are you looking forward to this next year? Let us know. What did we not talk about that you're like, I can't believe they fucking missed this. And now, hey Molly.
Yes.
Do we have 5 questions?
Yes, what? We do. We have 5 questions.
Oh my God.
Ruby Palmer. And Ruby, I didn't flag your email, and your email's from October, and I feel like an absolute asshole. So she sent these in forever ago, and I usually have a system where I mark them with a flag to remember and didn't. So Ruby, we were not ignoring you, but we have saved them for this lovely, exciting episode. Looking forward
You're
to good
welcome.
Things. And good things are questions from Ruby. Are you guys ready?
I'm so 100%.
Ready. Ruby did not answer these herself. They're just questions. Okay. So I'm going to read the question and someone needs to answer it.
Okay.
All right. Question 1. Would you please describe your favorite collectible to me? What's your favorite collectible?
This is hard for me. I have a lot of them.
I was going to say, you have a lot and we don't have a lot. So it's like kind of hard for 2 different reasons.
I was gifted a... There's a statue company in Japan called Kotobukiya. They do very fancy statues of comic heroes and stuff. And years ago, Molly's mom gave me a Kotobukiya Doctor Doom statue that I have in my collection of Doctor Doom stuff that has a light-up base, and you can change the mask sticks on with magnets, so you can change the mask to a different style. There's a full flowing cape that's like a second piece that you can take off. It's really amazing, and it's probably my favorite collectible thing I own.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, that's great. Cool. What I have that I guess it counts as a collectible. Several years ago, I got asked to do part of 5/5 of the Fringe, which is a big fundraiser that they do where they have 5 different companies do 1/5 of a usually popular culture movie, which was The Shining. We did 5/5 of The Shining, and I decided to do mine as an episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, sort of, which included puppets. And so I have puppets of like the twins and Shelley Duvall and Jack Nicholas.
McCallarin.
Yeah. All the characters from The Shining in hand puppet form, which I just
they're very
love.
Cute too.
I love that I have that. And the little thumb, the Red Rum thumb. I have that as a hand puppet. So
I would say, so there's this, there's an iPhone game that was really, really popular in the early 20 teens called Neko Atsume, Cat Collector. And everyone I knew was playing it at the time. It was only in Japanese. And so we were mostly just trying to guess what everything was doing. And everyone I knew was playing it. It's very cute. They sold blind box versions of the cats and the accessories that the cats you could buy for the cats in your little cat house. And so I have, I think, 6 of those little guys. They're very cute and tiny. They're just little tiny cute cats that I have up on my, I have a shelf of toy things that I like to have. And they're very cute. Runner up though is I have an Aisha keychain. Maybe it's pronounced Aisha. The long eared cat alien guys from Neopets. Perhaps you remember Neopets. I was obsessed with Neopets as an adult. Thank you very much. Question 2. What is the most prominent photograph you have in your workspace / game space, if any? Do you have any? I have the most prominent photograph I have is actually two little cube glass cubes that are really small. And they are, each of them has a single frame from a photo booth strip that Nick and I took when we were first dating. There's one from maybe our second date. And then there's one from after we'd been together for like a year or two. And those are the only photographs I have. I have a lot of illustrations, but not a lot of photographs.
I don't think I have a single photograph up.
I don't think you do either. You don't have a lot of art up there either. You mostly just have your computer and your craft stuff.
Yeah, I don't have a photograph up anywhere.
Yeah.
Just art.
I have a photograph taken on the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror at Disney World. And it was the first time that Alex was able to ride it. Oh. And it was a terrifying, it's like a scary ride. And I'm like, is Alex going to think this is great? Or is Alex going to be really, really scared? And he loved it. And the picture of him with his arms in the air with the biggest grin you will ever see on a child in your entire life is one of my favorite things to see. So that's I have great. That picture on my desk.
So it's not in our gaming space, but it's in our like living room area. When we announced we were done performing at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, some favorite patrons of ours put together a little like photo collage of us, Molly and I, out there either with Vilification Tennis or
final weekend pictures,
or as our stage or street performing group, or as a part of the improv show we're doing out there with others. And they gave it to us, and it's an incredibly sweet thing. And we have that up in the bar of our
base. That's true. That is kind of a game space. We play video games right there.
Yeah.
All right. Question three. Do you have any unusual daily habits or rituals? Any unusual daily habits or rituals? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if anything I do on a daily basis is all that unusual.
I have one thing that I can think of.
What's that?
I love sour things a lot.
Okay.
To the point that I have been known on actually a lot of occasions to drink vinegar straight.
Sure. Yeah.
Malt vinegar. And I will literally do it out of a shot glass because I don't drink, but I've been gifted shot glasses and I don't know else to do with it. So I will drink malt vinegar out of a shot glass. And I probably do that several times a week. So
yeah.
There you go.
That's a good one. That's
malt vinegar
answer.
Out of a shot glass.
I feel like everything I do is something that I feel like is a pretty, I don't want to say normal, but at least a more common thing. I think the most unusual daily habit I have is my bullet journal, just because not that many people do stuff with a journal every day, but that's really it. I try to not, there isn't really anything I do every single day that isn't like maintenance for my flesh prison or walking the dogs, right? Like I try to not get into things where I have to do it every day because that's not good for my brain, because my brain gets obsessive about that kind of stuff.
I just came up with a better answer, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
Oh,
I don't have one. Keep going. I'm thinking.
Devin and I, every day for, gosh, years now, do a single step of a Lego build.
Oh, yeah,
You know, when we have a Lego set, which isn't every day, but we got backed up due to
That's
the house construction and COVID. So we've been doing it for months now. But, just it's one bag. You open up the bag. You do that step. You set it aside. So, some of the big sets have taken us over a month to finish building.
I like that.
I've got one.
Okay, you got one.
Okay, so this little morning ritual started with our first dog, Jizz.
Yes.
And has now, the younger puppy dog, Pimento, has learned this very quickly.
I forgot about this.
So it started with me. Peaches is very eager for us to be up and at him and out of bed and awake and start the day. It's not, you know, for breakfast and for other reasons. She's a dog.
The cats were too. When we had
cats were too, for sure. So when I take off my CPAP mask in the morning, we will say, masks off, masks off.
Like from The Shining.
Like from The Shining.
Masks off, masks off, masks off.
And Peaches will crawl up onto my chest and stomach, so we're face to face, and just snuggle me for like a minute or two while I pet her and like hug her, and then
check her paws, check her
for lumps and bumps, and then I'll give her a squeeze, and that's how she knows we're done, and she'll jump off and she'll usually go out to the living room and go on her couch. And then when she's done, Pimento climbs up on top of me and lays down on my chest and does the same thing. And it's
adorable.
The cute fucking thing.
It is very cute.
They both
The cat used to do it. Trisket used to do it. He'd be like, Trisket, mask off, masks off. And he'd be like, wah, 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 wah. And he'd come over and
It's a great way to start the day.
I didn't even think about that. That is a daily ritual that probably is unusual. It's so normal to us.
Yeah. They just both crawl up, so we're face to face, and they just want a little FaceTime.
All right, question four. What's your favorite instant play game? By that, I mean the kind of game with little to no setup and little to no instruction required for people who aren't game savvy.
Bellatro.
Oh, yeah. Bellatro is a good one.
It's the,
you just
the,
play.
The poker roguelite.
Right.
You just play. It's great. It's easy. It's fun.
I'm probably going to have to say Squirtle, which is, it's basically Boggle. On online, where you get a daily puzzle, got to find all the words in a grid of letters. I'm terrible at it, but
yeah,
but I do it every day.
Right now, I'm really obsessed with a game called Clues by Sam, which is a very tricky logic puzzle game where you have to decide if someone's a criminal or innocent, and you can't just guess. You have to know logically, and the logic is not always super obvious. So it requires the more you play, the better you get at it, because you start to understand what certain patterns mean. But it's really hard. It's really fun. The puzzles range, you never know what you're getting. The puzzles go everywhere from all the way from easy to evil. And so sometimes it's an easy puzzle, sometimes it's medium, tricky, hard. You can also give him some money, like $5, to get 50 puzzles you can play at your leisure.
It's the same. Everyone gets the same puzzle.
Everyone gets the same puzzle every day. Yep. And he just recently in beta, if you sign up with your email address, he's doing it with like archive, so that like you can, if you give him your email address, you can play today's, but you can also play the last 2 weeks of puzzles if you want. That just got released in the last couple days. So it's really fun. In terms of a tabletop game, I really love Number 9. I think that's really fun instant play game that it's really easy to show people how to do it and takes very, you can play it. We have taught that game to people who are so drunk. I think they were closing one eye to see.
I think you need much setup for wavelength.
Wavelength is another really easy one.
You can literally just bust out the dial in the cards, ignore the rest of the game and just play.
Spot's a good one too. That was easy to learn. Tim talked about that one, and we went out and bought it. I love it. It's super fun.
Can't Stop. That's kind of an Omega Con.
Oh yeah, that's a good one too.
Super quick and easy to learn.
Okay, and then question five: can you please tell me about one of your favorite sets of dice? I have a set of dice that I got at my first Gen Con in 2012. It would have been maybe 2011. It is a tiny. So when I got them, and it's a plastic tube that's probably about, I'm going to say 5 to 6 centimeters long. And then the dice are, they are pea-sized, maybe even smaller than pea-sized. And it's a standard set of D&D dice. So you've got D4, D6, D8, D12, and a D20 all in there. And they are tiny cast metal, teeny tiny little guys, and they're so cute, and everyone who's ever seen them is like, those are the cutest little tiny dice, and I've had them for 15 years and I still haven't ever lost one, and I'm very impressed with myself because they are so small.
I'm just going to mention one die. Back when I learned how to play Dungeons and Dragons, which was early 80s, I think. So AD&D was just out. Friend of mine came up to me with a 20-sider. It was a black 20-sider, and it was one of the first ones that had like the polished edges. All the polyhedral dice were the hard edges, sharp edges. He's like, check this out. I just got this die. It's so cool. He's like, I'll tell you what. And I'm like, oh, that is cool. And he's like, I'll tell you what. If I roll a 20, I'll give it to you. And I'm like, okay. And he rolled a 20. I'm like, sweet. And I was an asshole kid. And I'm like, yep.
Four rooms right there.
Yeah. You said I got it. I get this die. And he was like, come on, give me a chance to win it back.
I guarantee I can light this lighter every time. And if I don't, you can cut off my finger. Like, that's totally what that's.
Yeah. So I still have that die.
That's great.
40 years later.
That's great.
45 years later. Shit. Anyway.
I have two sets of dice that are game science dice. And so Game Science is a company that started by Louis Zachian. He's been making dice since 1974. I don't know if he's still alive or not. But most dice are made in a mold, and they get tumbled. Like they'll dunk them in dye to fill in the recesses for the numbers, and then they tumble or polish off the rest of the high places. So that's what gives them more rounded edges, and that's what gives them a smooth mm-hmm. side. But also that can make them uneven. So I have two sets of these dice that he makes off a sprue, right? They're injection molded and cut off a sprue, and they only sand or touch up the little part where it detaches from the sprue. So each one has a blemish, like a belly button spot from where it was cut off the sprue, basically.
Interesting.
Not, some of them more prominent than others.
Yeah.
But these dice, I'm not like a statistician. I'm not like, oh, my dice are scientifically proven to be, you know, random and accurate. They're very nice looking dice. However, go look up Louis Zocchi, Louis Zocchi. Find a video of him from like Gen Con or some gaming convention like 2008 or something. And he has these elaborate displays set up where he has dice from other dice manufacturers set up where he's like, here's a stack of this same company's dice, all their same D20s stacked, one down, 20 up.
Mm-hmm.
Look how this stack of their dice is a different height than this stack of their dice. And then he does like elaborate float tests on them too, cool. to make sure that they're uneven. His whole spiel is such a charming old like grognard gaming crank.
Yeah.
Where he's like, these uneven dice are out there killing all your characters. Like your fighter died because you bought shitty dice that rolled two more often than they should have statistically. And he's super enthusiastic about it. Like, I own the dice just because of his like cartoonish personality. They are also very nice dice.
Well, that's great. That's great. That's from Ruby. Thank you, Ruby. You're amazing.
Thanks, Ruby. Sorry for the delay.
Yeah.
Ruby's been listening for ages.
I think Ruby might be a patron too.
I think so.
Ruby, if you're giving us those Patreon, there we go, dollars. Those, as we talked about last episode, all went to support mutual aid efforts here in the Twin Cities. So thank you all very much for helping support our communities. If you have some stuff you're looking forward to this year, please let us know. Were you like, oh shit, I didn't realize Grand Theft Auto 6 comes out this year. That's awesome. Tell us about it. If you want to send us 5 questions or your answers to our 5 questions, send them to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. We will read them.
Who knows
eventually.
When?
I'm so sorry, Ruby.
Other than human error, we're great about it. And if you're a patron, throwing us just $1 or $2 a month, we will bump you to the top of the list if such a list existed.
Whoa.
Last time, everyone who wrote in was a patron, for what it's worth. That's why Ruby wasn't at the top of the list.
Oh.
There were 3 people who all wrote in right at the same time as when I was last begging, and they were all Patreon supporters. And so I was like, okay. And then I failed. I failed our patrons.
Well,
otherwise
we'll stick with you anyway, Wally. We like you.
We'll appreciate that. We'll thanks guys. Thanks.
Not
guys.
Getting divorced today.
Okay.
All right. Otherwise we've been Geeks Without God, and we'll be back on another Tuesday with more geeky godless stuff for y'all.
Bye.
Oh shit, we forgot to mention the Melania movie. Also, fuck ice.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter @GeeksWithoutGod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Duff.